Muslim terrorists have kidnapped over 200 children and 600 women in Nigeria. Lara Logan joins us to discuss. The mainstream media is faking their latest outrage regarding four suspects accused of dismembering a human body being released without cash bail. What they're not telling you, it's because of Democrats why those four individuals are now free. I'll detail the latest. ...5G infrastructure. Gina Paith joins us to discuss. President Trump and his co-defendants in Fulton County are expected to appeal that judge's decision regarding... All that and more on The Brianna Morello Show. Happy Wednesday, everyone. We're so happy to have you on tonight's program because there's so much, of course, to go through. And so let's not waste any time. Let's jump into some of the most important headlines from today. First up is some positive news, of course, for the former president and the other Fulton County co-defendants. It looks like Judge McAfee has granted a certification, obviously, to go through the appeals process. So ultimately, he had to certify and sign off on all of these defendants, challenging his decision to not disqualify Fannie Willis. So now they'll be able to take this over to the Georgia Court of Appeals. And well, this is important because, as many of you know, we've spoken about on the show, the judge in this case, Judge McAfee, did something that was just completely mind-blowing that even people in the corporate mainstream media couldn't even understand. He gave Fannie Willis the power to either step down from the case or to carry on with his, or to fire her married legal boyfriend, whatever it is, lover boy, which his name obviously is the special prosecutor, Nathan Wade. As many of you know, the two of them were trying to conceal their relationship. And well, it's come out in the courts, and unfortunately, McAfee was like, oh, there's not enough here to prove that there was enough there to prove that, number one, Fannie Willis was lying when she was speaking on the stands. He was lying when he was speaking on the stand. We know that from phone records, that this relationship has been going on for quite some time. And so, unfortunately, the judge in that case gave them the ultimatum to either one of you step down, but both of you don't have to. And if you speak to any legal mind, they'll tell you that's garbage. When one person is figured to be corrupt, they both come down and they replace them. And that's ultimately how this normally would work. But we could throw back some conspiracy theories, but for some strange reason, the judge in this case thought just only one of them needs to step down. And that was pretty absurd. There's also more news coming out today as well. Let's step over to Julie Kelly because she's just put up recently a great tweet. And it's all regarding, as we've spoken about on this show, the Department of Justice, or as some say, the Department of Injustice, which I think is fair these days. They're looking to push back on the potential SCOTUS and the appeals court ruling regarding their outrageous treatment of J6ers. They have been persecuting them aggressively and applying laws to them that really are just, they normally wouldn't be applied to these situations. They normally wouldn't be charged under these circumstances. And even the DC appeals court said that certain enhancements that were being added to a lot of their sentences were not supposed to be added because that's not how they were supposed to be applied. And so the Department of Justice is triggered by all of this, of course. And so they're saying, well, listen, if these J6ers get their sentences reduced because of that DC ruling or whatever comes down from SCOTUS, because we're expected to hear from them sometime in the spring regarding certain charges on J6ers, well, they're going to go back to the courts and try to argue that the lesser charges that these J6ers are facing deserve more prison time. That just shows you how corrupt and nasty Matthew Graves is. That's the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia. They are just so bent on getting these J6ers because they don't like their political beliefs. And so they will do whatever they can to go after them. It's just an absolute disgrace, but it's expected under Biden's Department of Justice these days. And speaking of that, as many of you heard yesterday on the show, we discussed it. Peter Navarro is now sitting in a Miami federal prison. Now, I recently reached out to the jail to get some information regarding Peter because ultimately, when these J6ers or anyone, any Republican make their way into a federal prison, the Board of Prisons, well, I mean, they just, the Bureau of Prisons, I should say, the Bureau of Prisons tends to have to put them in solitary confinement, these individuals. And so I want to make sure Peter Navarro is okay. So I reached out and I asked them, where has he been placed? Is he in general population? And they are refusing to answer those questions. But I think it's really important, folks. And we just had it on the screen. Sorry to my producer, Colin. I didn't get to it quick enough. But this is the address for you guys at home right now. If you are interested in sending Peter Navarro a letter, you can do so. This is available on the Bureau of Prisons website. So this address that you see right now on your screen, you could actually send him a letter, and they might prevent all of them from getting to him, but mostly they will get to him. And if you're listening to this and you're not watching this, you could head over to my Twitter page right now, just Brianna Morello, and I've put that information on there. Again, folks, he's in a Miami prison and he's there for the next 4 months. It's an absolute disgrace for this country to be sending such a great man. The best policies that came about in the Trump administration came from Peter Navarro. And that's the reason why he's sitting right now in a federal prison. It's an absolute disgrace. Speaking of absolute disgraces, I want to talk about, we've been nice to them lately, but let's go to the RNC. Because as many of you know, the RNC announced, or we thought they announced, that Scott Pressler, the individual who goes around the country and he registers young people as, I guess Republicans, but he registers them to vote. It looks like the RNC just pulled their hiring offer for Scott Pressler, and it was all in regards to him potentially leading a ballot harvesting effort. NBC is now reporting that he is, first off, they call him a conspiracy theorist, which is not obviously true, but whenever they want to give somebody credibility, that's when they throw that name out there. But ultimately, they're saying that they spoke with the RNC, and they say that, Pressler adds value, is a valuable voice to the RNC, but will not be a direct employee. He remains focused on his nonprofit. So we don't really know what happened there. His nonprofit, again, folks, is Early Vote Action. And he's been one of those folks on the ground, grassroots efforts to get people to vote, to get them on board, to kind of push back, because Democrats have this all figured out. They've funded all of these groups to go out there and push for young people to get involved. And it's great that he goes out there and he pushes back by trying to get more Republican conservative voters out there, which we appreciate. But the RNC is saying he's not an employee of the RNC. And so, I don't know. It's kind of strange. We don't really know what's going on, but it's got our attention, obviously. And those are some of the most important headlines that we have going on right now. Now, folks, we have a great jam-packed program for you coming up. Lara Logan's going to join us in just a few moments. There's a genocide going on right now in Nigeria, and she knows everything about it. And unfortunately, thousands of Christians are being slaughtered in Nigeria, and you just have to hear her, because she has been studying this and following this for years now, and it's heartbreaking. Also, Gina Paith will join us in just a few moments as well. It's about this push to put up 5G infrastructure all across the country and completely avoid state and local officials. And it's very, very alarming. And there's much, much more coming up on the Brianna Morello Show. The mainstream media is voicing a lot of outrage regarding the release of 4 suspects accused of dismembering 2 human bodies. Yes. Yeah, you heard that right. So these 4 suspects were actually released in New York, of course, after they were charged with dismembering 2 corpses and then leaving their body parts in multiple parks around Long Island, New York. As many of you know, I'm from Long Island, and that is an arm. Sorry, that's not funny. Okay, so these people are accused of chopping up these bodies and leaving the parts all over the place in Long Island. And then when they were arraigned, they were immediately released. And people are wondering, why would you release 4 individuals accused of dismembering a human body? Well, it's because of New York's criminal justice reform. That's what they call it. Now, as many of you know, on this show, we've told you that criminal justice reform is actually a criminal bill of rights. It's given criminals more rights than their victims. And this is just more proof of that. So those 4 suspects were just arraigned and never actually held. And a judge couldn't even intercept, of course, because, New York Democrats took away the judge's authority to step in and hold these suspects. And so now these 4 individuals are free. And everyone's outraged. Even the young Turks are as well.
Dismembering a corpse and hiding a corpse after dismembering it. Not bail eligible. Not a serious crime. I'm not even kidding, guys. Like when Joy Behar outlined that case, I was like, She's crazy. This isn't a thing. This isn't real. This isn't real. So I looked it up. It's real, guys. It's real. Listen, if being on the left means supporting this, then I'm not on the left and I'm okay with that. So let me give you the details of the case.
It doesn't mean that.
Okay, I don't know. Let me give you the details.
On the left. We're all on the left. We don't want people dismembering folks getting released. Only a couple
Some do.
I know. What I was in the middle of saying is only a couple of lunatic activists are like, yeah, we're pro dismemberment guys being let go. Okay, whatever. You don't represent the left at all.
Dismembered bodies. It's so unfair to put them in.
Anna Kasparian is somebody who I never, never thought in a million years I'd see eye to eye with. And for some reason, we are finding common ground on this issue. Now, in a tweet, I responded to that video, and I just stated some of the most basic pieces of information when talking about New York's criminal justice reform, which, again, I don't like saying. It's a criminal bill of rights. And she said, and I literally said, hey, like, this is what made me flip in 2018 from being a registered Democrat to no longer being a registered Democrat. Now, I'm obviously conservative. And I joked and said, Anna, you're next. And she responded, same with literal child sex trafficking and strangulation in California. These people are sick. Heck yeah, they're sick. And it's going on all around our country. We are seeing legislation get pushed through on state levels that is normalizing either pedophilia or violence against children or women. And it's disturbing. Now, if you ask New York Democrats, of course, they are very, very dismissive over their baby, which is the criminal bill of rights, because, well, they were the blueprint for the rest of the country. Everything in that piece of legislation is supposed to take place throughout our country. They were hoping for it. In fact, I know this. That's why back in 2018, New York governor at the time, Andrew Cuomo, shoved it into the 2019 budget. He wanted you to vote on criminal justice reform and the state's budget, which have nothing to do with one another. And it didn't stop there. Of course, he also put in, the congestion pricing, which is wherever you're driving in New York City during certain hours, they're going to charge you a fee. He placed that in there as well. Now, just keep in mind, folks, he knew that was going to be horrible for his political career. And so ultimately what he did in that is he made sure it would go in effect. He assumed he was going to still be governor at the time after he was reelected again. And it didn't stop there, folks. They also pushed in a ban on plastic bags. So the corporate media, of course, focused on the plastic bag issue, and they completely neglected criminal justice reform. So there's no surprise here. And, well, the new New York governor, Kathy Hochul, is very, very defensive over this horrific piece of legislation. She's even attacking the Suffolk District Attorney who's in charge of that case that we spoke about regarding the dismembered body parts. Take a listen.
And maybe the DA should have done a more thorough investigation and brought murder charges or conspiracy to commit murder or even assault charges, because all of them are bail eligible.
Explain it to those of us that are lay people. Why did you choose the charges that you chose instead of something that would be not eligible for bail?
Sure. Well, you know, first and foremost, we're working with our partners in the Suffolk County Police Department. We know the facts and circumstances. No one else does at this point because it's an ongoing investigation. But, it's not like CSI where everything gets nicely wrapped up in exactly an hour. So you have a situation about 8 days ago, body parts were found in three separate locations. And you have to put the case together. You have to build the case. You have obviously blood, DNA, cell site, social media, phone evidence, and you need to synthesize that and put that all together. Now, that takes a while. But what we did have is we did have a probable cause to charge the three cases, the three charges. We charged them, but unfortunately, because of bail reform, notwithstanding the dangerousness of the situation.
Of course, a district attorney cannot charge you for crimes he doesn't have evidence of. He could prove the dismemberment part, but he can't prove that they were the ones that murdered these two victims. And so why would he charge them with a crime he cannot right now confirm was actually committed by these four people? We don't want people being charged with crimes that cannot be proven. So when Kathy Hochul sits there and points the finger at the district attorney's office, because of course, Republicans, she doesn't like those, she's just looking to hide the actual reality. And that is, New York Democrats have become the party that advocates for criminals. We're not exaggerating this, people. This is the same piece of legislation that considered possession of child pornography and manslaughter to be nonviolent. Yeah, you heard that right. That piece of legislation, when it was first pushed through in 2018, was literally saying that child pornography and manslaughter are nonviolent crimes. Multiple people who murdered others who were charged with manslaughter were freed because of New York Democrats. And there was no national outrage over the issue. One instance, days before this law was put into place and was ready to be activated and being put into place pretty much, we saw a woman who was crossing the street get murdered by an illegal immigrant in upstate New York. She was mowed down. That illegal hit her, drove off. And when police finally arrested him, he was charged with manslaughter. And a judge said, well, just in a couple of days, criminal justice reform is going to be in effect. And I cannot hold you because manslaughter is considered a nonviolent crime according to the legislation. And so that judge released that illegal. And thankfully, because of ICE, that illegal who was about to flee allegedly, well, he didn't flee because ICE caught up with him. And that family might have never seen justice if he successfully fleed. This has been outrageous from the very beginning. New York Democrats pushed this through because I know that this is a horrific piece of legislation. I'm not just being dramatic about this, guys. This is actually happening. If you read through the legislation, don't trust my word for it. Read it for yourself. I tell you that all the time. You'll see how egregious this is. Let me give you another scenario that's going to really just blow your minds. As a woman in New York, if I am on a subway and a man gropes me and I call the police and I file charges against that man now has the right to obtain my contact information through his legal team. So he or his lawyers or both can now get access to my phone number and my address because it's their right. It's a criminal bill of rights. It's his right now to be able to contact me. And they'll say, oh, well, it's not for harassment, just in case the legal team needs to talk to you. Of course, it's meant to intimidate victims from coming forward. Why would you want your contact information given to the person that just tried to assault you? Well, if you're wondering why this even pushed through in the first place, I asked a member of law enforcement. And well, when they are dealing with victims of crimes and they tell them that their contact information, if the defendants ask for it, is going to get their contact information, a lot of victims don't file charges. And so what is this? This is meant to intimidate victims from coming forward to report crimes against them. And well, what happens if they don't come forward to report those crimes? Well, then, of course, crime statistics go down because it looks like there are not crimes being committed in the state of New York. And so when you sit there and you say, oh, robberies are up, sexual assaults are up in New York, murder is up in New York, all of these crimes, well, I got to be honest with you, folks, it's probably significantly higher because so many victims don't want to come forward. So the reality here is criminal justice reform, also known as the Criminal Bill of Rights, is a horrific piece of legislation. Now, how do Democrats push this through? Well, of course, lobbyists and all of these left-leaning liberal activists, they use the story of Kalief Browder. Kalief Browder was a young man who did nothing wrong. The Bronx District Attorney's Office actually violated this man's constitutional rights and his human rights when they held him in Rikers Island, abused him. And well, they had no evidence that this young man committed a crime. Now, what happened? He was accused of stealing a book bag from a victim. And when he was accused of stealing that bag, the only thing that they had against him was the victim pointing to him while he was walking the street with police and saying, that's the one who did it. Of course, no actual physical evidence. They didn't recover the book bag in Browder's possession. None of that was ever found. But they took him in, and because the Bronx DA's office, which has a history, and they were sued for it and had to do a payout of violating the rights of Americans, well, they just tossed him in Rikers Island, let him get the crap beat out of him, completely destroy this man's life. And sadly, Kalief Browder took his own life because of the incident. He did nothing wrong. But he's not a criminal. But Democrats knew he wasn't a criminal. They knew that story would pull at your heartstrings. So they used his story to push through radical, radical pieces of legislation like criminal justice reform. Now, if you're wondering whatever happened to those attorneys at the Bronx DA's office or the judge who allowed this case to drag on and to hold Kalief Browder in Rikers Island, knowing that number one, all they had was a witness. Then the witness ended up moving and leaving the country, so they no longer had a witness. And when the judges and the attorneys on the Bronx DA side knew this, they still held him in Rikers. So they all violated his constitutional rights to a speedy trial, never had any evidence to pin this on him. You know what happened to those attorneys and judges? Nothing. Because New York Democrats never demanded anything to happen to them. They weren't disbarred. They weren't demoted. They weren't anything. Nothing happened. And so here we go again. We have Democrats sitting here and pretending like they aren't the cause of this issue. Four suspects accused of dismembering human bodies are now back on the streets in New York. And one of those suspects actually is now accused of stealing from CVS while freed. Yeah, and she's not denying it. She just said she didn't want to go back to her car to get her wallet, I believe was her quote that she gave, something to that effect. And so she's not denying that she stole it. But she had an ankle monitor on. So, you guys, it's up to you if you believe she stole it or not. I guess one would just assume that she probably might have an issue maybe with something that might be much deeper than theft. But anyways, this is what New York Democrats are doing in the state of New York, and it was meant to be the blueprint for the rest of the country. That's why they wanted to suppress crime statistics by making sure victims couldn't come forward. Andrew Cuomo pushed for this, and well, this is where we are now. So when the corporate media is so outraged that four individuals accused of dismembering a body are now back on the streets, just remember, they hid the facts from you. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you guys are subscribing to our Rumble and YouTube channel. Of course, that's where you guys could see the show. That's where we upload all of the videos every single day. So make sure you head there. And if you'd like to listen to us on the podcasting platforms, of course, we're available on iTunes or Spotify. You could also give us a follow there and make sure you leave us some feedback. We greatly appreciate it. And if you'd like to support our show, this is my work. This is everything. I'm the only one doing this. I don't have any big Pfizer sponsors. I don't have anything of that nature. You guys can head over to supportbree.com. That's supportbre.com. That's where you guys could directly support my show by either making a one-time donation or you guys can make a monthly donation and you could pick the dollar amount. It's really just up to you, whatever you could give. We greatly appreciate it. As many of you know, I left the corporate media world and started this independent platform. And so we're only being able to do this because of people like you. So we appreciate all of your support, of course. And we'll be right back after this.
I can't seem to shut up about how amazing the quality of my sleep has gotten since I switched over to MyPillow products. Yes, I know you probably heard of it before, but these new products that just came out, the 2.0 line, are incredible.
MyPillow 2.0!
I'm sleeping on MyPillow Giza bed sheets. I'm also using the new MyPillow. And let me tell you something, guys, I am sleeping like a baby. The bed sheets are incredible. It's literally so soft and yet so thick that you feel like you're sleeping at a five-star resort.
Excuse me, where's the lobby?
Down the hall and to the left.
Thanks.
Now, if you're interested in getting a better night's sleep, you gotta head over to mypillow.com. Use promo code Brianna, that's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. If you're looking to save up to 66% off, you gotta go now before they sell out, guys.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow, towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with a nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know you can get our six-piece My Towels, regular $69.98, now only $29.98. Or you can save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Also, we have bath sheets, bath towels, washcloths, hand towels, and so much more. And the best part, with your promo code, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all My Towels. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Remember when Joe Biden denied Americans access to life-saving medications during the pandemic? Well, even the most prepared Americans weren't prepared for what they had in store for us. And if we've learned anything from 2020, it's that we all need to have a plan, of course. The medical emergency kit from the wellness company is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your family. and you won't find anything like it in stores or at the pharmacy. This prescription kit contains 8 life-saving medications, including ivermectin, amoxicillin, and Z-Pak Plus. And it also will give you a guide to tell you exactly how to use all of these tools. Every American should have at least one of these kits right now in their homes. You should have this right now in your house. I'm telling you guys, this is really important. Ordering your kit is simple and it takes less than 2 minutes to do. Head over to twc.health/Brianna right now. And just for listening to today's show, you can secure up to 10% off right now with promo code Brianna. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. You'll get that 10% off plus free shipping. And once you pay for everything, you'll fill out the intake form. It only takes about 2 minutes to do, and your kit will be shipped directly to your door. No more waiting for expensive doctor's visits, and they'll probably refuse these prescriptions to you. It's just how they are. We all remember how that was during the pandemic. All 8 of these prescriptions will be at your door in approximately about 2 weeks. So this is really quick, and it's important for you guys to get this right now. Now, again, folks, this is so important. It's actually not as expensive as even a doctor visit. It's very reasonably priced, and you have to check out all of the services and tools that they have right now on their website. I'm telling you, you will not regret it, especially because, well, let's be honest, we are in an election year, so you never know what they're going to pull. So again, folks, you've got to arm yourself and go right now. It's twc.health/Brianna. And once you use the promo code Brianna, you'll get 10% off plus free shipping. Don't wait. Head over there now. While the rest of the media is focused on the atrocities being committed in Israel, there's a topic that we need to talk about, and it's what's going on in Nigeria. And it's been going on for years. Bree Dale of Daily Wire has brought this one to us right now, and I wanted to bring your attention to it. It's in regards to, as she puts it, Muslim terrorists kidnapping over 200 children and reportedly over 600 women in the last few days. Now, this story happened at the beginning of March, and, well, you're not really hearing about it except from a couple of outlets. It is absolutely disturbing. Now, what's going on here is Boko Haram is a terrorist organization that they're saying is the one responsible for these kidnappings. That name might sound familiar for some folks because they've been responsible for kidnappings across Nigeria, and they've been leading the genocide against Christians in Nigeria. It's absolutely heartbreaking. You might remember, actually, 10 years ago, it's actually 10 years ago this month, a group of schoolgirls in Nigeria were kidnapped, and it inspired the Obamas to create this PR campaign called Bring Back Our Girls. Now, it wasn't until the great work of Lara Logan did I realize that this was just literally a PR stunt. In fact, they knew that those girls, where they were, number one, and they could have went out there to go protect these girls and to get them back, and unfortunately, they didn't. Now, as a result, over 276 of these schoolgirls were kidnapped, and 98 of those schoolgirls are still missing to this day. Now, let's talk about what's been going on in Nigeria, because it's really, really important. It's a genocide. There's no other way to put it. Last year alone, 8,000 Nigerian Christians were either killed or kidnapped by these terrorist organizations. And, well, since 2000, the latest numbers say that 62,000 Nigerian Christians have been murdered. The stories are just absolutely disgusting. I want to bring in the woman who opened up my eyes to this crisis. Let's bring in award-winning journalist Lara Logan to discuss. Lara, thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Brianna. Thanks for talking about this, because not enough people do.
Yeah, well, you opened my eyes to this story, and I wanted to play a clip of one of your Fox reports that you did, and it was absolutely heartbreaking to see. Let's play that clip and then talk about it on the other side of this.
Kidnapping is a way to pay for a war against people with no defense and no arms. Here, a glimpse of the terror that's come to the door of Christians in the north. Boko Haram captured in this video moments after they'd attacked a Christian village in 2019. Imagine what it's like when it's you they come for, swarming over homes and villages with murder in their hearts and no mercy in their souls.
What's it like to go into one of these villages or to the scene of one of these massacres the way you do?
The first thing, actually, you will be confronted with driving into any of these communities is a big cloud of horror. It's usually heartbreaking, really, to see the faces of these people in despair, to see the faces of children whose parents have been killed, the faces of women whose husbands have been killed, the faces actually of parents whose children have been killed, and the faces actually of families whose only sources of wealth, only possessions, crops, properties have been destroyed in clear acts of economic sabotage.
Misara Kim is the eyes and ears of a world that doesn't care. We had to speak to him by remote from his village in northern Nigeria. And he told us in another life and another time, he would have liked to be an astronaut. But the life of a poor Christian boy in a land where the earth around you is being cleansed of people like you is grounded in another reality, documenting as a journalist what he and others know is genocide.
Now, Lara, you opened up my eyes to the story. I had no idea this was happening in Nigeria. Since 2000, it's been reported that 62,000 Nigerian Christians have been murdered. This is genocide, and yet we don't hear about it. What's going on here?
Well, actually, something that's very interesting, Brianna, that most Americans are not aware of is that on 9/11, like the day that the Al-Qaeda terrorists flew those planes into the World Trade Center, they also attacked in Nigeria, and they attacked in a village which had the high ground. They took over that village. They drove out over 200 Christians, and that village called Mahanga was really the base of operations that they established for this genocide. So it began on 9/11, and these terrorists were carrying the same flag. They were saying the same thing, Allahu Akbar, God is great, and adhering to the same ideology as the terrorists who flew those planes and killed, you know, thousands of Americans, right? So it's the same enemy. And then what they proceeded to do over the next, you know, now it's more than 20 years, is to systematically drive Christians out of all of the surrounding villages. Nigeria is roughly cut between the north and the south. The north is predominantly Muslim. The south is predominantly Christian. However, all along that middle area, there's tons of Christian villages in very remote, very rural conditions, you know, brutal conditions, quite frankly. People live pretty much in poverty. But this is where a lot of Christians live. And so while you've had this systematic genocide that's been taking place where Christians are targeted time and time and time again, men, women, children, entire families massacred, right? I mean, these guys will go in, they just kill anything that moves. I've watched horrific videos where they've, as they've beheaded young girls while they cut their babies out of their stomach. I mean, you just see it's an absolute bloodbath, unimaginable. And yet, what we have here is the Christian world, the churches, the Vatican, I mean, you name it, right, is mostly silent, standing by, while not only are these people murdered and driven out of their homes, but when they go back into these villages, when they go into these villages, they erase the homes, they bulldoze them, they burn the crops. A lot of people living in those villages will live off the crop, right? So, you know, they plant there and they wait for months and they water their crops and they take care of it. And then when they harvest the crops, the money that they get is supposed to last them and their families for the next year. Well, what these terrorists do is they time it and they come in there and attack and burn down the harvest. So that means that not only are you, you know, killing most of the village, but the people left behind cannot afford to stay there. So they're being forced out. That's why you heard Misara Kim, the journalist, talking about these acts of economic sabotage. What they're doing is cleansing the land of Christians, and they're making it so these people can never come back. In fact, that first village, Mahanga, there's never been another Christian allowed to set foot in that village since it was taken over. And here's the incredible part, okay? As if that wasn't staggering enough, I just want you to hazard a guess, right? In your wildest dreams, you will never believe what the State Department maintains who is responsible for this. They say these are not acts by Islamic terrorists, right? And this is echoed by the government of Nigeria. No. These are not Islamic terrorists. These are Fulani tribesmen who are a nomadic tribe. And that is true. The Fulani are nomadic, and many of the killers are Fulani. But what they leave out, okay, they try to tell you that these nomadic herdsmen are migrating south because of climate change. Okay, that's literally what they blame for this genocide. They say it's not ideological, it's climate change. Because they said that this has forced these nomadic tribesmen to migrate south. And when they do that, they're conflicting with the villagers. Well, that certainly doesn't explain why they're flying the flag of Al-Qaeda. You know, you talked about Boko Haram. Boko Haram has given way in some areas to the ISWAP, which is the Islamic State of West Africa, which in fact killed, Islamic State of West Africa murdered the leader of Boko Haram, who was responsible for the original kidnapping of the 267 girls from Chibok, right, from that village in northern Nigeria all those years ago, right, who began this trend that you've seen in Nigeria of terrible, terrible kidnappings. And so now you have the Fulani tribes people, while most Americans have never heard of them, this tribe is consolidating power all across West Africa and in countries like Senegal, all of those neighboring countries. You know, if there's anyone African in your audience, they're nodding their heads right now. They know what I'm talking about. This is a political and ideological takeover. And the target is Christians. There, you know, there are some Muslim people who won't take up arms against Christians. They're also targeted and murdered. And what is terrible is that the government of Nigeria denies that these refugee camps exist. They deny that this problem exists. They've jailed journalists. And they're aided in all of this by the United States government. I mean, and all the woke crowd and the global cult. I mean, of people who would rather... we all believe in some climate emergency than the reality of Islamic terrorism and a Christian genocide. And maybe even the worst part of all is that the Christians are going along with it, most of them.
It's disgusting. We say never again when we talk about genocides, and it's happening right now. We're all seeing it. We're all looking the other way. And it's horrifying when you detail it like that, that the United States government is also a leader to the problem in this whole situation, because, you know, we're too afraid to address the core of this issue. You know, we discussed earlier this month that over 200 children and 600 women in Nigeria have been kidnapped. But when I was going through the corporate media outlets that were actually covering it, I had no idea who was responsible for this kidnapping. It wasn't until I stumbled upon Riedel's. Yeah. CNN, MSN, none of them wanted to say who the source was of all of this. I had to go to the Daily Wire to find out who it was. And well, now all of a sudden we all figured it out. It's not just magically these kids are going and women are disappearing, that there is actual terrorists behind this. And they never want to say what the actual word is, but it's Muslim terrorists, which is heartbreaking in itself because we shouldn't be seeing this. And when I look at the demographics in Nigeria, it's 58% Muslim, it says, and then 48% Christian. So this is something that's significant. Lara, why do you think the corporate media just tends to look the other way on the key details to this genocide?
Well, it's very simple, right? It's obvious. It's ideological bias. I mean, this started under the Obama administration. And just here's something that your audience will be, I was stunned to learn it. So I'm pretty sure people will share that. If you recall, I mean, Obama was as the first Black president of America, the United States of America, right? A real leader for the free world. And you would think that he would have made a beeline to visit the most populous country in Africa, which is Nigeria. And if you look at the trade routes all across the west of Africa there, I mean, Nigeria is in a very important strategic position. And as you know, with a huge Christian population, a natural ally for the United States. Well, guess when Obama went to visit Nigeria? Oh yeah, that's right, he didn't. Not in his first term and not in his second term. However, during his second term, John Kerry, then Secretary of State, went to visit Nigeria. Now, wouldn't you think that when the United States Secretary of State is going to come and visit a country, it would make sense that he would come to the capital of the country, right? Which would be Abuja, which would be in the south. And that's the Christian capital. In fact, at the time, the president of Nigeria was Goodluck Jonathan, who was a Christian. And he was running against Muhammad Buhari, who was a Muslim. So you would think that the Obama administration would put their weight behind Goodluck Jonathan, that they would go to the capital, the Christian capital in the South. Well, they did not. John Kerry instead chose to go to the capital of the north of Nigeria. And that's the old capital, which is a city called Sokoko. I'm not sure exactly how you say it, but you can look it up, right? Mm-hmm. And so why is this city so important? Why is it so significant? Well, at the very time that you had, you know, an ex-military guy who was not really known for his democratic creds, who was also Muslim, running against the Christian president, and now you're in an election year. So when the United States sends its most senior representative and they go not to the Christian South, they go to the Muslim North, and they go and they go to a city that was the capital of the first caliphate that was fought by Islamic jihadists. So the leader of that caliphate, Osman bin Fodio, was actually one of the first early jihadists in the history of Islam. So this is not just a place that has, you know, a significance in the election and in current politics. It is a place that has extraordinary significance to the entire Islamic world. And of course, most Americans, you know, they're not even paying attention to what John Kerry is doing. They don't really understand this visit. Well, you dig a little deeper, guess what else you find? Not only did the Obama administration back the Islamic candidate, but guess who was a consultant on his campaign? Well, none other than David Axelrod, you know, another great American, right? And a big name in the political world. So is it any wonder that Muhammad Buhari defeated Goodluck Jonathan? And you might ask yourself, well, why was Obama supporting Muhammad Buhari? Well, ostensibly, it's because the Obama administration did not appreciate the Goodluck Jonathan stand on homosexuals. Now, in Nigeria, because if you will remember, you know, Nigeria had pretty robust legislation against homosexuality, and it was just popular, you know, was not popular and not part of the culture, and it was still very much frowned upon. And so the Obama administration put, you know, gay rights ahead of all other considerations as to be their defining, really the defining issue of their relationship with a longstanding ally. They cut off military sales to Nigeria as a result of this. They have punished the people of Nigeria by removing them from, you know, automatic status for asylum, right, where they're not one of the countries that can automatically get asylum. They have punished Nigerian refugees. I mean, they have really exacted a pretty heavy price. And Trump went about, you know, reversing a lot of this, but it's since, you know, it's gone backwards again under Biden. And the irony, of course, is that gay rights did not improve under the conservative Islamic president Muhammad Buhari, you know, of Nigeria. It's not like Islam. I mean, I really don't know what rock most people live under, because if you have not been paying attention, you know, ISIS was throwing gay people off the roofs of buildings in Iraq. Okay, yes. The United Nations Security Council was forced to convene on a gay rights issue for the only time in their history to address the murder, ISIS was hunting down and murdering gay people in Iraq and Syria and beyond. You know, it's like, I mean, you're looking to the wrong people. I see all these gay activists, you know, that are out there talking about Gaza, and I'm like, do you guys realize what would happen to you in Gaza? Like, you realize you'd be lined up against the wall and shot, and that would be merciful death, you know? And so it's quite extraordinary, because everything that the United States has dealt with in terms of Islamic terrorism and the global jihad and the Umar and all the rest of it, the origins of all of that historically lie in Nigeria. And here's another thing that if you're Googling Nigeria, you're looking it up online. I hate Google. It's a horrible, horrible company. So if you're searching for something online, you might see that, you know, the British are blamed for splitting Nigeria between the North and the South, right? Mm-hmm. And creating all of these problems. It's really interesting, because that's not true. In fact, what the British did in Nigeria was much more sinister. Okay, mm-hmm. They could have removed Islamic rule from the North, but they kept it in place so that they can continue to play the North off against the South. And what ends up happening? Well, MI6 and the British Crown The British government, they get their hands on Nigeria's oil and on the trade and everything else that goes through there. And unfortunately, Nigeria is just like every other African country that is so rich in natural resources. The people are extraordinary, and yet the country is run into the ground because they have sold out to foreign interests that have exploited and robbed them blind. And it is it's the enduring tale of Africa that that has yet to be really confronted, how we have enslaved almost an entire continent in order to steal from them. And it's not a black white thing. It literally wouldn't matter what color the Africans were. It's because they had so much, because really that continent is so rich in every single way. And the rest of the world has spent all of its time stealing from it. And Afghanistan is pretty similar to that. You know, that's another country that reminds me of it. But there's only one place on earth where Christians are systematically, day after day, being massacred in a genocide that's happening on our watch, and we're doing nothing about it. And, you know, you said in your intro you mentioned the fact that we build museums. We like to build museums to genocide. Father Patrick Dubois, a Catholic priest, said this to me once. He said, why? We love to build the museums to genocide afterwards, and we love to say never again. But when the genocide is happening and we could actually do something to stop it, then we are silent.
Yeah. I mean, that's the core of the issue that's exactly right. We pretend like we've learned our lesson and that this is horrible and we will intervene if we ever see it happening again, but it's happening again and there's no intervention. And you brought this up to my attention as well. Just a few years ago, you reported on the Obamas and specifically Michelle Obama, who started the campaign, like I spoke about earlier. It was the Bring Back Our Girls campaign. It's officially 10 years ago, actually, this month. And the disgusting part in all of this is that this was a PR stunt. And you detailed that by pretty much just explaining how the Obamas could have stepped in and actually brought back those girls. Now, over 200 of these girls went missing, 276 of these girls went missing. 98 of them are still missing right now. Can you just inform our audience as to how the Obamas pretty much ignored and neglected these girls after they were kidnapped by Boko Haram?
Well, it's worse than that. It's much worse than that, because it's even more cynical, right? So you'll remember it made world headlines when those girls were kidnapped, because people were understandably horrified, right? And one of the things when I was doing this report on Nigeria for my series on Fox Nation years later, you know, I'm pretty familiar with the type of technology that we have as the United States and the United States military has. And it didn't make any sense to me that you wouldn't be able to find some, you know, hundreds of schoolgirls especially in such a high profile kidnapping like this. When we have resources like AFRICOM, we have special operations troops. I actually was with special operations troops in the Central African Republic when they were hunting Joseph Kony with Ugandan special forces. So, I mean, I've been out there. I've trekked through the jungles, you know, through the forests with some of these people. And I know what the capabilities are. So when I was doing this story, I went to U.S. intelligence sources, particularly people that I knew had been active at that time in that region. And I asked about the girls. And what I was able to confirm was that within a short number of hours, I think it was about 72 hours, if memory serves me correctly, they had traced those girls to a nearby warehouse, which wasn't even very far away from where they were taken. And they spent days there, if not longer. I mean, they knew exactly where they were. So at the exact moment when Obama was out talking about this and when Michelle started her Bring Back Our Girls campaign, at that exact time, they not only knew where they were, they had all the resources that they wanted to go in and get them, and they chose not to. And then this is how cynical they are, right? It's hard to believe that people could be this evil. I know some people may shake their heads at me saying that. I get it. You know, intellectually, we know that people are this evil, but yeah. I don't know. There's no downside to rescuing those girls. You as especially as the first Black president of the United States, you would have been a heroic figure. And you knew where they were. All you had to do was say, get them. And instead, you created a fake campaign. You gave hope to people. You pretended to care when you didn't care, and you abandoned them to their fate. And some of these girls were later used as suicide bombers because at one point, Nigeria had the highest number of female suicide bombers ever used in any conflict anywhere in the world. And I don't believe that dubious record has ever been overtaken, right? So these girls would be strapped with suicide bombs, and a couple of them actually were rescued. But because what they would do is they would go out, they would find Nigerian troops, and then they would blow themselves up. But after a while, it happened so often that sometimes the troops would try and talk to them, and where they could, they would try to rescue them. Now, that often went wrong, and sometimes if they have a remote detonator, right, they have a hand loop that detonates by remote, it went badly. But they did manage to rescue some of these girls, and their stories of horror will just break your heart. I mean, it's absolutely devastating. Some of the girls have escaped, very few of them, but a few of them, you know, and these girls are raped, they're forced to give birth, they're used as slaves, you know, both as sex slaves and as labor slaves. And not only that, they live in terrible conditions. I mean, those forests in Africa are full of snakes and, you know, you name it, right? And these are girls, even though they come from humble backgrounds, they at least live with family, they have, you know, they have homes, and they're going to school. They're deprived of their education when this happens, and they're often subjected to terrible physical abuse, terrible sexual abuse. I mean, so it's really the worst thing that you could imagine. That not only do you have the ability to save these girls and to send a message, by the way, to these terrorists that these sort of tactics will not be tolerated, because how many thousands upon thousands have been kidnapped ever since? How many families torn apart? And, you know, the last thing I'll say is this, Brianna. It's not something I like to talk about all the time, but when you're dealing with girls who are taken into sex slavery, I know what that means. I was gang raped, but I only had to endure that for a brief period of time, you know, roughly just over 40 minutes. And I can't imagine what it is like for these girls to have to live through this day after day after day, year after year after year. I just don't have words for that, you know. And it's something that I think about when I'm dealing with these kinds of stories, and when I'm talking to people and reading their interviews or doing their interviews. It's just one of the worst things that there's no end in sight. And as you pointed out, this is the 10th anniversary, you know, it's 10 months. And just to imagine, you know, what is left of you after 10 years of that? What have you become? Who have you become? You know, and what does it mean for those families? When I did my story, one of the other videos showed families that have paid money to get their children back. And unfortunately, you know, if it was my child, I'd pay anything. I'd give anything. I'd give my life. I'd give my life. I'd go in there. I would volunteer myself. I would live in that forest, in that misery, and I would volunteer to be raped if I could save my child from that. So, you know, I don't blame these families at all, but the kidnappers know. They know that not only does this send a message, is it a form of control, intimidation, and so on, but it's financing this war. And that is just devastating for the people of Nigeria.
It is devastating. And the children and women who were just recently kidnapped that I cited earlier this month, they're asking for over $600,000. And we all know that they don't have that money. And they're threatening to kill all of them if they don't get it.
And they will kill them. And it's boys too, by the way, just so you know, they take boys as well. They go, you know, imagine that your kid, I mean, we worry in this country about school shootings. They're worried every day that their children are going to be taken and never seen again and tortured to death for the rest of their lives. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's heartbreaking, and it just doesn't get enough attention and deserves a lot more attention. Lara, before we wrap, I wanted to bring up, you know, the war that's going on right now between Israel and Gaza seems to be getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so. I mean, there's a lot there to talk about, but like I've mentioned, this genocide that's been going on right now in Nigeria for over 20 years doesn't seem to be getting any attention. why do you think, just as the rest of the world, why do you think the rest of the world turns their head the other way to what's going on in Nigeria and even the genocide that's going on in Armenia as well? And then they only focus on what's happening in Israel and Gaza right now.
Well, this is always the case with Africa. I mean, I'm an African. I was born in South Africa. Now, people don't like me to say that because I'm white. And oh, no, you're not allowed to say that as a white person. But my mother and father were born in South Africa, you know, and now their grandparents, their parents came from European countries. But my sisters, their children have been born in South Africa. I mean, this is generations now that we've been there. And I can tell you, growing up there, no one cares about Africa. No one cares. I mean, when I was growing up, there was a war in Angola. There was a war in Mozambique. There was, you know, the longest running civil war in Sudan. You know, South Sudan is fighting again. And no one ever cares. So, I mean, I've gone to Mozambique. I've gone to Angola. I've gone to Darfur and to Sudan. You know, I've gone to Burundi and Zambia and Zaire and Zimbabwe and Botswana. I've covered conflicts in all of those countries. And I've known about this all my life. No one cares about Africa. What they care about is stealing everything that Africa has and exploiting the natural resources there. And more so now than ever, because with the rise of the digital age and, you know, computers and electric cars and all this nonsense, they need Africa's resources more than ever. More than ever. And then, you know, when it comes to Armenia, well, the genocide in Armenia, I don't know why people still won't acknowledge that. They yeah. still don't want to acknowledge it, you know, and it's really just quite staggering. It's politics, of course. And when it comes to Israel, well, Israel is a unique case because the Holocaust is so well documented, in spite of the fact that, do you know that more than 60% of countries now do not even teach the Holocaust in schools?
Yeah.
So I think it's well documented because we grew up learning about it. But, you know, the more than half the world doesn't grow up learning about it. And of course, the United States has a close relationship with Israel historically. But I mean, what's left of that today? It's just it's for show. I mean, you want to talk about a show. This administration pretending that they care about the Israelis and that they're on Israel's side, that's the show of the century, right? Because that is just absolute nonsense. And I will tell you, you know, what story the media in this country have not cared about for a very long time is how it's the left that has been incubating anti-Semitism and fomenting hatred towards Israel and the Jewish people for decades now. I mean, when you get an Islamic terrorist goes into the apartment of a World War II Holocaust survivor, an old Jewish lady, and throws her out of the apartment building and murders her, right? That is a continuation of the Holocaust. But do you think that the media would talk about it? Do you think the media would acknowledge the victim? When you have an Islamic terrorist going to Jewish schools in the south of France and murdering Jewish school children, they still won't call that an attack against Jewish people, a hate crime. They still wouldn't call it that. So I've been documenting for years now all of the attacks, the rise of Islamic extremism. But the real purveyors of hatred towards Jewish people are those who cover for the Islamic extremists. Because, you know, Islam makes no, especially Islamic extremism, Al-Qaeda's ideology, they make no secret of their hatred of the Jewish people. I mean, for goodness sake, you go to Dubai, you can't even make a phone call to Israel because it's banned. Okay, there's like a psychotic anti-Semitism and hatred towards Israel and the Jewish people all across the many parts of the Middle East. You know, but who's been lying about that? Who's been covering it up? Who's been sweeping it under the rug? It's the left. And what you're mm-hmm. seeing now with all of these demonstrations that are pro-Hamas, I don't want to see children die in Gaza. I don't want to see men and women die in Gaza. I don't want to see anybody die, quite frankly. But when you see Palestinian people celebrating the death of Israelis, that is a legacy of anti-Jewish hatred that is being sanctioned and blessed off on and incubated and propagated by the left. And that's a story that most of the media today still doesn't want to acknowledge. And, you know, and that's a very, very serious thing, because the one thing that I can't get past is that Hamas represents and advocates for the genocide and the murder of every last living Jew. And that is exactly what Hitler's policy was in the east of Europe, a policy of total annihilation. In the west, he had labor camps, you know, death camps where he had a purpose for the Jews. But in the east, it was total annihilation. So when I hear the Hamas rhetoric being yelled out, you know, from the streets, I hear the words of Hitler. I see the actions of Hitler. I see the actions of the Nazis. And I cannot be part of that. I can't be part of another Holocaust. I will never stand for Holocaust of the Jewish people. That's just unthinkable.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's going on right now. And we're all watching it play out. And it's just so sickening to see these pro-Hamas protesters take to the street. And they're not even advocating for equality or just some type of common ground where we could all live on. They just want to annihilate Jewish people. And I don't think everyone understands that when they sit there and they continue to call what's happening in Gaza a genocide. I just don't understand where that comes from when the other side isn't even advocating for Jewish people to just live peacefully amongst them. They're calling for the genocide of them. They don't want to live with them. They don't want to coexist. And that's the difference that we have going on right now. So it's always, for me, it's just so jarring to see people so openly call for this and back these pro-Hamas protesters as well and try to portray their message as if it comes from a place like they have been victimized for years. I just don't see it. Lara Logan, every time I speak with you or I produce other shows where you were on, I always learn so much from you. So thank you so much for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Brianna. It's great to talk to you and thank you for covering this.
Earlier this month, a trial began in Los Angeles County, and it's all in regards to the push to really just create more 5G infrastructure and get rid of anyone or any county or any state that might come in their way. They're looking to rapidly push out this 5G infrastructure. And so this lawsuit that has now reached its trial phase just started on the 14th of this month. It was brought on by the Children's Health Defense Group, as well as other coalitions, community environment groups, and whatnot. But they're going after the county because the county is trying to surpass literally all of the phases that they'd have to go through before putting this type of infrastructure in place. And a lot of protesters actually did show up outside of the courtroom to show their support for this pushback on what the county is, you know, trying to do. I mean, this is disgraceful, but ultimately during the press conference, one of the individuals who spoke was really aggressive as to why this 5G push is just targeting low-income Americans. And she cited it perfectly. They use low-income Americans as an excuse as to why they need to push out this 5G. And she cites it perfectly, this protester. She says, listen, we don't want them to keep citing us. They don't want to be the excuse. We're here representing millions of Americans and communities impacted by digital divide. But she goes on to say that this isn't the solution to just push forward all of this infrastructure rapidly. And it's also funny because, you know, as many of you know, the World Economic Forum has used a lot of these people, a lot of these low-income individuals, to pretend like this 5G solution, and solution I put out there is their wording, not mine, will fix the digital divide is ultimately what they're trying to say. And again, these protesters they didn't want nothing to do with it. They said it's ineffective, it's a fire hazard, it's expensive wireless technology, and then they also cite the health issues that come around when you start putting out this type of technology. I want to bring in somebody who is well aware of this push to just rapidly expand 5G infrastructure around our country. And they're doing it based on just trying to manipulate our current legislation. Let's bring in Gina Paith. She is the founder of Redemption Shield. Gina, thank you for joining us. I greatly appreciate your time.
It's great to be back with you, Bree.
Well, thank you. Listen, you brought this to my attention. You also brought a piece of legislation right now that's Congress is going through. It's called the American Broadband Deployment Act of 2023. It's also known as HR 3557. It's ultimately their way of going around state and local officials when it comes to lands and zoning authorities. They're trying to go around all of these individuals and kind of push forward this 5G World Economic Forum agenda, pretty much, and rapidly expand the infrastructure. Why you're reading this all, you've gone through the legislation. What stands out for you the most, that's most dangerous, that we should all be alert on?
Well, I think they've started to see that there was some pushback from the communities as these enormous cell towers went up. People got really concerned as they started going over daycares and 55 and older parks. And they were putting this in places where the, you know, more vulnerable individuals live, and people right over their homes. I mean, imagine one of these cell towers going up over your home overnight, and you have no say whether or not it should be there. And that's exactly what's happened to hundreds of thousands of people. And it's so insidious, because what happens is then it's this fight to try to put a moratorium on that. And, you know, people are going to their city councils, they're trying to stop these cell towers. But by then, it's already too late. It's already put up. There have been some communities who have put a halt. They've been able to say, no, this is not okay, when they're able to pull in the majority of the people in that area. And this is the challenge, because this is such a new thing that's happened really overnight. As you and I, you know, we all noticed, they just flew up during COVID. And, you know, we barely catch our breath, and now we're having to deal with this. And so these HR 3557 and actually three other bills are trying to be pushed through. And this will allow these communication companies to put up these cell towers anywhere, anytime, and nobody can say no. I mean, you think about what these four bills are going to allow, and I really want to encourage everyone to go to the Environmental Trust Group. They actually have this document on their website. It's a great document. And then, you know, there is another with the Children's Health Group. You can actually go to their website and you can click on their link. And I love this, because when you scroll down just a little bit, there's actually a place that you can click and it says, take action now. So you can actually make a letter right there, and they send the letter to your local representative. I mean, it's really a no-brainer. Everyone needs to do this, because what's going to happen, Bree, is if we don't stop this now, we don't know. I mean, they're going to put up thousands and thousands and thousands of cell towers because they're moving to the Agenda 2030. We know that. And this will be the 15-minute cities. And you can see where this is going. And they don't want us to be able to say no.
Yeah, well, they don't. They don't. And specifically the legislation you're citing, I mean, I went through it. It's very lengthy, but it's an easy read. It eliminates state and local government authority to manage public rights. I mean, that is just insane. And then they're saying that it will also provide fair market compensation for those. But I mean, it's not about the compensation. No one's really worried about that at this point. It's mainly the health concerns that so many Americans do have. Gina, you have kind of created, you just gave our audience some solutions on how they could prevent this from happening right now in their communities. But ultimately, for so many Americans, like you cited, it's too late because they've already put up these cell phone towers during the pandemic. And so now it's about time to come around and find a solution to make sure that, you know, you and your family at home are protected. And you've done so with your company, Redemption Shield. So tell us a little about your products and why your products are so important for Americans to protect their homes with.
Yeah. So right now we have to be thinking about these protective measures. And we talked about before, Bree, on your show, going to antennasearch.com, and you can find antennas that are within 3 miles of your home. And this is the most important thing, because then you can use a bed canopy over your bed. And that is going to be critical for those of you who live within a mile or 500 feet of a cell tower. Imagine you're going to need protection. And I'm so excited, Bree, because this past week when I was on, we talked about smart meters. Mm-hmm. And one of your listeners actually was able to identify her smart meter. She found out that it was a live unit, and she took, the initiative to get the military grade fabric. She put that up on her wall. She went to Home Depot. She got some wire mesh and she's set now. She's got a grounding mat for herself and her dog, and she's just as happy as can be. So, you know, your customers are really paying attention. Your listeners and my customers are paying attention, and they're doing this, and grounding is going to be so important. I mean, this will be 101. You have to be grounded. And so getting those grounding mats under your sheets, you can also get grounding sheets. We have those as well, as you see there. We have stainless steel sheets. We have 35% silver. And on our site, we have an FAQ. And you can go there in the About Us section at the top. There's a FAQ in there, and you can go and you can read up on the different fabrics, how to care for them, what they might be used for. And I think that's helpful because some of these products people have never used before. And so they have a few more questions. And if you do have questions, you can feel free to call us anytime. We'd be glad to help.
Yeah, well, I love that. Thank you so much. Now, you've showed us on the show before and all of these testing that you could actually do to see the type of just the frequencies that come off your common devices like your cell phones and your laptops. And it's extremely, extremely powerful. Do you by any chance have the stuff on hand right now to show us, or should we play the soundbite?
Yes. They're in my toolbox.
I love this part. This is my favorite part.
So everybody really needs to own an RF meter. This one right here is an HF35C. It's an HF or high frequency analyzer. And what this is essentially doing is this is a little antenna and it's reading the frequencies around my laptop. So imagine when you're typing for hours on your laptop, this frequency is hitting your body nonstop. So sometimes we think, hey, I got my Bluetooth in, I got my radio going, and you're chilling right by your laptop, but you don't realize that you're actually radiating yourself and you don't even realize it because it's all invisible. So we need to have tools like this so that we can measure things in our home. And I'm looking forward one day here soon, Bree, to actually go out to a cell tower and show your listeners what it's like in front of a tower with this meter. I think you'll be blown away and your listeners are just going to love that. And a few times, maybe I can go around and measure some of the things in our home, like the TV and different things, the Wi-Fi and those things. And I think that'll be really helpful for your listeners too.
Yeah, well, this is very helpful because, you know, we've seen you before in the past, you know, show off the devices, the Wi-Fi router, you just quickly put over the device that you have on your website just to kind of mitigate that. I mean, that was incredible and that was so powerful. Do you have it on? Yep, you do. Okay, so let's do that again because it might be someone's first time watching this. And I think that's really important for them to see.
Sure. So this is just a simple copper polyester fabric. And this is like a little box. It just drapes right over the top of your router and made of copper. So you can still get some frequency off of your router, but you won't get a high amount, which your body gets really annoyed by these frequencies. Believe it or not, we start to get headaches. We start to get heart palpitations, insomnia, and there's so many other side effects that start to happen, but I'm going to show you how it works. You just turn this on and you can hear the frequencies. I'm going to put that right over the top. Look at that.
Yeah.
And right incredible. Back out. It's really unbelievable, the frequencies that we have coming off of our little devices all the time.
Yeah. And you don't even think about it, honestly. I mean, now I've kind of changed since we started talking, honestly, I've changed my way of doing things. Like I used to sleep in my bed with my phone right by my bed as my alarm clock. And now I'm just like, let's keep some distance between that. Cause I didn't realize how bad it was, but you're right. It is really bad. And most Americans don't even think about it. I mean, I have your fanny pack now and constantly I had a fanny pack before. I'd put it across my chest and put my phone in there and I never even thought about it. But now with your fanny pack that I have, I mean, I feel so much better about it. And it's cute too, which is always, you know, favorable for me, of course. So it's great when I'm walking the dogs, like I have a cute little fanny pack on. And I know we're all safe. Me and Giuseppe and Gia, they're safe too. So we appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, with the bags really quick. I love the bags because, and we have different versions. We have the crossbody bag, and there's two pockets in there, actually, one where you can get calls and one where you don't. So that's kind of a double pocket, but having this just to stick your phone in and then put your phone in your pocket is so important. Because I just saw a lady the other day, where do some women put their phones? Right next to their breast. And it's like, I was like, please take that out. You know, it's hard to know too much sometimes.
I know. That's the problem. I always say that I feel like I know too much, but it's important. I mean, you arm us with the truth and then arm us with the solutions, and that's what we need. And our audience is going to be extremely thankful for you, because right now you have sales on your website and all of the items are reduced right now. But in addition, just for listening today, you've also extended to our audience an extra 10% off promo code. So if they use promo code BREE, that's B-R-E, they could get an additional 10% off with the sale prices, which is such an incredible, incredible deal. So guys, again, it's BREE, B-R-E. You have to take advantage of this deal right now because it's a sale, so it's not going to be around forever. And the fact that she's letting you pair both is incredible. And honestly, Gina, you know, we spoke about it before, but I continue to hear back such great feedback from our audience who have purchased products from you previously. And they're all loving everything. I mean, the bed sheets, the hats, everything that's on your website. I mean, there's not a single person who is not happy with any of your products. They are loving it, and they go back for more and they purchase more of your products. So we're so thankful for that, Gina. Again, folks, it's redemptionshield.com. And then if you want to secure the extra 10% off, all you have to do is use promo code BREE. That's B-R-E. And that's what you guys get for listening to today's show. So Gina, we're so thankful for having you. And I always learn so much from you. So thank you.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products, taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded. Redemptionshield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
For quite some time now, Dr. Kirk Elliott has been warning you guys about the potential bank failures that are on the horizon. Well, he's not alone. Big bank CEOs are also warning Americans about this. One is even projecting that there's about to be 500 bank failures this year. And the FDIC doesn't even have all of the funds to back the money that you're depositing at the bank. So let's bring in Dr. Kirk Elliott to discuss. Dr. Kirk, thank you so much for jumping on with us today. We greatly appreciate it. You called it. I know you've been talking about this for quite some time now, but it seems like finally the mainstream media is starting to catch on to the potential bank failures that are on the horizon. So tell us, what are we hearing now?
So this goes way back, and I have been sounding the alarm for a while. I was just talking to David and Stacey White at Flyover Conservatives, and we did a show on their network back in January of 2023, talking about how FDIC only had 1.7% of all bank deposits insured. And it's like, oh my word, this is terrible. And then what happened in March and April? Silicon Valley, Signature Bank, Credit Suisse, First Republic, Silvergate Bank, they all went into FDIC receivership, right? So they went under. Well, what happened between then, a year ago, and today? All those bank failures that happened took that FDIC insurance amount from 1.7% of assets to 0.74. They used up more than half of their assets with 5 bank failures, right? So here's where it gets a little bit more squirrely. And why didn't we have more bank failures then? Well, they instituted a program called the Federal or the Bank Temp Funding Program, the BTFP, which is emergency funding for failing banks. So it was like this lifeline to these banks of just stimulus money. And that's why we didn't have more bank failures. But that program, Brianna, stopped. It sunset. It expired on March 11th. So a week ago, that's gone. So the next bank that goes into like financial trouble, right, they're not going to get emergency funding. So therefore, they're going to fail and FDIC it would kick in. But FDIC hardly has any money, right? So we have to realize all of this happened with 5 big bank failures or regional bank failures. There's a CEO of a large national real estate company that actually came out on Yahoo Finance. Mm-hmm. And this guy, what do they do when you're developing subdivisions and commercial real estate? They're getting bank loans all the time. So he said, we're going to see 500 or more banks fail over the next 2 years. 500, not 5. With 5, it took half of FDIC's available assets. I mean, what if this guy is the biggest dunce on the planet and he's so far wrong that only 10 banks fail? Not 500, 10, which is still, look what happened with 5 banks failing. So I don't think that he's wrong. I think we're going to see, this to me is the biggest financial news story of 2024, is we're going to see a second round of bank failures, which is going to be bigger and badder and worse than the first one. I mean, why do I think that? You look at what's happening in the banking world, and in the last quarter, banks' profits fell by 44% in just the last quarter. See, there's no profitability there. There's delinquencies that are on the rise, which means late payments. After a series of delinquencies, people go into default. Either they cancel the loan at the bank or they just simply file for bankruptcy. This is the ugly world financially that we're living in as a function of bad economic policy coming out of the White House because the BRICS nations stripping away the demand for the US dollar, which forces us to print because there's no demand for our currency anymore. I mean, literally, Brianna, this is bad. And I think when you look at your brain, my brain, everybody's brain, it's like banks should be the safest thing in the world. You know, perception wise, our money in the bank, it's out of the markets. So we think, right? It's like, it's just safe. It's just like, well, this money just sitting in the bank, I'm saving for a rainy day. What do banks invest in? When you put money in the bank, what do they do with it? It's not just a big wad of hundreds sitting in the bank vault, just sitting there doing nothing. No, they invest it into stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate companies. The same thing you and I would invest in as individuals, they just do it on a larger scale because they're a bank. So as those things continue to fail for us, it's failing for banks. And because of Biden's ridiculously awful, horrible economic plan for America, you've got reducing wages, rising unemployment, prices going up because they're printing money like there's no tomorrow. You raise interest rates to slow down that inflation. That's a recipe for disaster. And so this is why I think the acceleration of bank failures is going to happen. So as I look at that and think, okay, what can we do? Oh, this article you just put on the screen, that's a brilliant one. See, it's not just the CEO of a real estate company that's saying banks are going to fail. Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, says there's going to be bank failures. Wait a second. Isn't he in charge of the banks?
Yeah.
And he's the thing that he's in charge of is going to fail. Dude, they stink. They stink at their job, but they're at this point where there is no other outcome. When you use other people's money and that money dries up, you're either forced to print your way out of it or just call it quits and say, well, there's no more. See, why in the world, Brianna, would a government in an election year, knowing that banks are the safe haven thing, and if there's a run on the banks, if people lose confidence in the banks, they lose confidence in the whole financial system. So why would they stop that emergency funding? Why? Either A, they simply don't have the money. They know that they can't continue printing because they're going to have to raise interest rates and people are already tapped out. Or B, I know this is going to sound conspiratorial, but I don't intend it to be. It's just reality. They want it to fail. Yeah. I think they might want the banking system to fail because they have a grand plan to be the saviors of all humanity financially, and that central bank digital currency, and that's what they want to institute. But you know, you're smart. Would you ever say, oh, the central bank digital currency thing, this is sweet. I like this plan because, you know, they have the ability to cut you off from buying or selling if your ideology doesn't match up with theirs. It's spyware on the bank account. They actually control all of our assets instead of us. We gave them ownership. Who in their right mind would say that's a good idea? Nobody. I don't care if you're on the left or on the right. It's a horrible idea that not anybody is going to like. But if the banking system fails and people can't pay their rent, they can't feed their kids, they can't pay their mortgage, they can't pay their utilities, they can't live life. As humans, it's human nature, we will give up our freedoms in exchange for perceived security and peace. So if you want to usher in something that's so horrible and it's all about people control, central bank digital currency will not fix a broken system. It's all about people control. You create a crisis so people will want what you have. But so that's my conspiracy brain thinking, right? So either that's prediction. The outcome, or the other outcome is simply that they run out of money. The end result, same. It doesn't matter whether either one of those options, the end result is the same. And that is banks are running out of money and we are about to see bank failures, which I think is the biggest financial story of this year. So what's the solution? Get your money out of the banks. If you have excess money in the banks, I would get it out. But then what? Then I would allocate it into something that's out of that system, something that's real, something that's never gone to zero, which is a tangible asset. Things never go to zero, Brianna. Yeah. Groceries don't, bicycles don't, cars don't, houses don't. Nothing goes to zero. If it's a thing, it always has an intrinsic value. Gold and silver are things. They will never go to zero. It's your safe haven in a time like this.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's really important. We're constantly talking about silver and how silver is on the rise. The cost of it's on the rise, which is a good thing for people at home right now because they could buy in right now when it's not at its highs. And I think that's really critical here. So your solution are these assets, these tangible assets. Let's talk a little bit about precious metals. That's often what we talk about. There's a lot of news out there right now where people are bragging about silver. So talk to us about that.
Well, silver surpassed $27 in Asia. It surpassed $25 an ounce here. So here's the thing. Silver is kind of sideways action for the last year. It's gone up and it's gone down. I mean, it's still going up. It's up tremendously over the last year, but nothing like what we're going to see. So when it creeped above $25, and you see on the chart, it's right there right now. It's at $24.96. But at that $25 threshold, it actually peaked its head above a 15-year moving average in the silver price. So that ceiling, which has been resistance, is now our floor. So the resistance moving forward is gone. This is, I mean, look at that chart right there that you have on the screen. See that last little blip up? It peaked above a 15-year moving average. There's no resistance above that. This is exciting for anybody who's allocated into silver, who's thinking about going into silver. The time has never been better because of where we are with a 15-year moving average being surpassed, and there's no longer an anchor weighing on the price of silver. It's now like a balloon pulling it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really important. And I know our audience at home probably has some questions regarding becoming an investor in silver and gold. And you're the guy that I go to for advice. So we've made it easier for them. If they head over to briannagold.com, there's a little form that they could fill out with their basic contact information. And all they have to do is enter in that information. Then somebody from your team will actually reach out to them, a scheduler, to make an appointment. And then they can make that appointment and have a discussion with you or a member of your team regarding everything that they have questions wise and how they could you know, secure their family's future. Because right now is the time to do this before it's too late. You don't want to be on the outs when these banks are failing, looking to somehow save what you do have if they didn't blow it for you already. So again, now is the time to do so. So again, folks, all you have to do is head over to briannagold.com. We've made it as simple as possible. That's BREANNAGOLD.com. Fill out the form. I've done it myself. Somebody from your team, Dr. Kirk Elliott's team, is going to give you a call, schedule an appointment, and then you meet with somebody else from his team to go over your financial goals. It's really important, Dr. Kirk, that people do this now because, gosh, if you wait any longer, it could really be a bad situation. Do you have anything else that you'd recommend right now for our audience besides just that? I think that's probably the most important thing, though, is to get on that phone call with you guys or a member of your team to kind of plan everything out.
It is. And it's a free consultation. I mean, there's no risk in a call, because what we want to do is ask you what your dreams are, what your fears are, what your goals are, what your income needs are, what you want to accomplish. Every one of us, I don't care how young or old you are, you want to accomplish one thing: that your money outlives you, right? The only way that you can do that is to outpace inflation with your investments, be in the right place at the right time, grow and thrive. So give us a call and we'll map out a strategy for success moving forward using tangible assets like physical silver right now to take advantage of this, not just this price move, but the fundamental realities of the world that we're living in, of the unsustainable debt, the inflationary pressures, the political chaos, this geopolitical conflict, everything that's ravaging the world, that's bad news, is actually good news for tangible assets like gold and silver. So we just can take advantage of that and have a smile on our face.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone at home probably wants a sense of relief as well. So that's why this is so important. So everyone head over to briannagold.com right now, fill out that form. Like I mentioned, somebody from his scheduling team will reach out, find a good time for you and his team to speak. And then you guys can go over all your financial goals. It's really important to do this now. If you keep tossing it off and waiting, you might be in a really bad situation. So again, it's briannagold.com. Dr. Kirk Elliott, we always love talking to you. So thank you for joining us.
You bet. It's my pleasure.
You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.